a lot going on in the streets right now. City to city, the country is literally burning. We got mothers crying, brothers dying, fists fighting, and the governor's lying. Now, time's been hard, but it's been feeling harder. Lord, I need your strength, courage for your daughter. Please, been relying on my own understanding. By hook or crook, I'm trying to book, but my plane just ain't landing. Yeah, waking stressed, don't feel blessed. Day after night, feeling at test. Trying to do more, cause I got less. Losing my zest, Lord. You say lean on you, that's what I'm trying to do. But when I push, it falls through. Guess I bit off more than I can chew. Oh yeah.
Alright, what's up, y'all? What's up? What's up? What's up? How we feeling, y'all? Alright, we here for Black Culture The Breakdown. Y'all know the vibes. What is up, everybody? What's goody? Alright, so let's jump into conversation. Y'all know the vibes. We got Black Culture The Breakdown, and I am your boy Jersey. I got a super dope show. Alright, let's get the boy XAB on the live. And let's get this cracking. What's up, everybody? Yo, I see y'all definitely tuning in and jumping on the kid. What's going on? Betty, what's up? How you feeling? Hey, XAB, what's going on, bro?
Yo, 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 what's up?
What's going on, man? Welcome back to Black Culture The Breakdown. You already know the vibes. Let me just get situated right here. All right, here we go. What's going on, King?
Chilling, bro. How you been?
I'm good, man. Just getting ready for Black Culture The Breakdown. You're already here. Genesis, Denise Hale, you're already in the building. What's going on? How are you today? What's up, everybody tuning in? Drop some comments if you're here for Black Culture The Breakdown. We got the King XAB on the live to give us the culture news. You know, he breaks down the news. XAB, talk to us about what's going on today, bro, and tell the people who you are.
Y'all already know it's Kid XAB from Dad Hats and Bow Ties, and yeah, we here today, so... let's talk about it.
Let's definitely talk about it, man. Let's kind of jump into the first topic. Black Culture earns its first publication in Medium magazine, bro. Talk to us about that.
I mean, you got to talk to us about that. That's something that you had happen. Congratulations, family. So, yeah, talk a little bit about what's going on with the magazine and how did they contact you, how did they hear about you and all of that.
Absolutely. What's going on, Misha? What's going on, everybody? I appreciate the love, y'all. Yeah, we definitely got a feature in Medium magazine, which is super dope. We definitely, they've been watching the show and kind of been taking a little bit of notice.
Okay.
Never know who's watching, whoever tunes in. This is a testament to say whenever you start something and put your best foot forward, anything could really happen. So I appreciate y'all rocking out with us at the show. We got that super dope, that first publication for Black Culture The Breakdown on Medium magazine. The link is in my bio, so make sure y'all go check that out. Share the link and vibe out with us. But thank y'all for rocking out, because if it wasn't for y'all and you, XAB, none of this would be possible.
No doubt. Yeah, definitely. Thank you to everybody who has been tuning in to the IG live show. I know everybody's doing a show since quarantine started up. But I think that this is a very important IG Live that you do every Sunday that kind of talks about a bunch of different things in Black culture. And it looks like people enjoy it. So that's super dope. Congratulations on the write-up again. And yeah, there's only more to come.
Only more to come. All right, so let's jump into the next topic on, speaking of write-ups and contracts and all of that, let's talk about Kanye West exposes his contract with Universal. Then, on top of that, he goes and proposes new guidelines for record labels to follow in terms of new contracts. Talk to us about that, bro.
Yeah, so he dropped his contract on Twitter a couple days ago, and then it was deleted. And I think he was blocked after that for a little bit. But listen, I haven't been supporting Kanye rants all quarantine long. I'm not supporting his little presidential race stunt that he's been doing, but I do support this rant. He has been on the money with everything that he's been saying regarding the record label, regarding the contracts, and regarding wanting to see them change and wanting to see them amended moving forward. All the things that he said regarding what he thinks should happen with record labels moving forward is 100% true. Because basically, a lot of people don't understand how these record labels are and how these contracts look. So just a little breakdown. Essentially, they're like a big bank, right? So they're like a big bank that gives you a loan. And your job as an artist is basically to get the money back that they gave you. So a lot of times what you'll hear advances and you'll hear 360 deal, but nobody really knows what all of those things mean. So an advance, if you get a deal that gives you an advance, that literally means that they're giving you the money ahead of time and they're projecting and expecting to get that money back at some point. So for however long the deal is, a lot of times, let's say it's a, let's just do a simple deal. Let's say it's a 3-album deal and they're giving you $5 million in advance. So they're giving you $5 million to do whatever in advance. You can use that money however you see fit. But you also, with that money, will be taking care of your manager. You'll be taking care of your videos. You'll be taking care of a lot of different things that you think the label is paying for and you never have to use any money for. But it's actually coming out of your money. And if you don't recoup the $5 million back, then you're left in a bit of a hole. And then you got something like a 360. So the 360 basically says that the label is making you into the star. So all of the money that you make from touring, all of the money that they make from your likeness, all of the money that you make from your albums will go straight to the label. You won't see none of that. Typically with advances and deals like that, you get a split, you get a separation. So the label might get, most of the time the label will get like 70 and then you'll get 30 of your royalties and of your music and everything else. But with a 360, you're not seeing nothing. They're getting all the money. So that's usually the split that a lot of people don't understand.
So let me ask you this now, in terms of what Kanye's doing and the way that he's going about it, do you feel like he's going to get it effective? This is the most effective way that he should do it.
He's talking about for all artists. And unfortunately, again, just like banks, they use your money as collateral for credit. It's the same thing with music labels. They're using the advances and the fact that they probably know that some of these artists won't see a dime until the label has made way more than they initially put out. A lot of labels are not going to do what he's suggesting. So for him, he like he said in his rant, he most likely will get his masters and he most likely will get his music. But I don't see the record labels and the music business changing how they do things because there's really no pressure for them to do so. And that's why a lot of people have been pushing for artists to form a union. Because imagine if Drake, Rihanna, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Big Sean, Kendrick all came together and said, we're not going to fulfill any contracts until you start changing how y'all do business. Gotcha. Then the record label will have no choice but to switch what they're doing.
Absolutely. Man, X, you're talking straight facts, but Kanye West is definitely always in the media for some controversy. But at the end of the day, if he's trying to do something to unite artists and give artists their publishing and their masters, then we all for it. Let's jump into this next topic, actually. Miss Alicia Keys reveals that Christina Aguilera was actually supposed to be the one to sing If I Ain't Got You, but her team shut that down, bro. Talk to us about that, how that song would have been different if Christina Aguilera would have sung it. And actually, y'all, drop down in the comments below. Do y'all think Christina Aguilera would have been a better fit to sing that song, If I Ain't Got You, by Christina, by Alicia Keys, my bad.
So we're talking at that point, early 2000s. Christina probably would have made the song bigger because of who she was at that time. And I guarantee her singing that would have probably become a number one platinum song that hit Billboard and all of that solely because Christina Aguilera was already an established artist at that point in time. But I just don't know if she would have gave what Alicia Keys gave, because Alicia gave the piano with it. And I'm sure they would have had a pianist come in and
about raw vocals though. You don't think Christina Aguilera would have brought something different to that song? Actually, drop that in the comments below. I'm actually reading some of them now. Somebody said, wow. Somebody said, nope. Somebody said, nah. It's perfect just the way it is. Alicia Keys did well, and Christina should have did well. Christina would have did well, too. But, you know, it's actually quite interesting. But I definitely think that Christina would have probably bodied that track, though.
She would have did well. I wouldn't discredit Christina Aguilera out of it. I just don't know if it would have felt the same, because it would have been, I guarantee it would have had more of a pop feel on it.
Gotcha.
I guarantee they would have gave it more of a crossover vibe to it. With Alicia Keys, it was more of a, all right, well, she's a soulful artist, so we're going, whatever she wants to do, we're kind of leaving it as it is. But I promise you, if Christina got it, they might have tampered with it a little bit, and we wouldn't have the same song that we have. But if they kept it the same,
yeah,
and she was on it, I mean, you can never. Christina Aguilera has a voice. Like, we can't act like she doesn't. We can't discredit her. I even think Ariana Grande today would kill if I didn't have you, because she has a similar range as all of them. You know, she had those are the white girls with the powerful voices. So you can't count them out.
Definitely can't count them out. Man, XAB, you always come in and deliver us the news, bro. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Let the people know where they can find you.
Yes, sir. So if you are interested in following me, you could do it right now by going up to my name. It's at the top right under jerseys. You can click on that and you can follow me. I'll follow you back. But if you want to listen to what I do on my own, I have a podcast called Dad Hats and Bow Ties. We talk about everything politics and entertainment worthy. And we have a new episode every Tuesday. So you could definitely go and follow the Dad Hats and Bow Ties page as well. Or you could just subscribe on any of the DSPs. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and recently we launched with Amazon. Amazon just launched their podcasting service, and they picked up the podcast to be part of that. So we're on there as well, and we're on Apple Podcasts. So follow me on any of those platforms to get more news, more entertainment, and more pop culture stuff. Jersey, have an amazing show. I know you have some dope guests from The Shy coming on, right?
Yes, we got some dope guests from The Shy. We got Robin Hood Music from The Shy. We got Genesis Denise Hill from The Shy. And then we also got a super dope host and actress, Tangerine, that does her own thing too, that we got to get on here next. So thank you, bro, again. And again, congrats again on the write-up on Medium, because you know you're a part of that too, bro.
Absolutely, and it looks like it's paying off, because we got a lot of people in here today. So I already know the numbers is going up. And another 2 months of this, and you might have a packed out 300 people in here, man.
That's but
I'm going to holler at you, broski.
Of course, bro. Later. All right, y'all. So that was XAB Music from Dad Had Some Bow Ties. If y'all want to follow him, click that. But we're going to get the cool, funny, and chilled out lady, but entertaining, Miss Tangerine on the line. I love this woman because she brings joy to my life during quarantine. There she is.
Hi. Set this up. Put my head in here. Hi.
Hey, welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown, Tangerine.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I was just learning about the music industry from your first guy there. And congrats on your magazine write-up. Ooh. Moving on up.
I'm trying to be like you.
Hey.
So, who you are and what you do?
I'm Tangerine, actress, producer, host, content creator. I am on the show Family Time on the Bounce Channel. We've done 8 seasons. Season 8 premieres October 7th. So you can get caught up on the first 7 seasons right now on bouncetv.com. Just click the videos link. They put them there for free. You could also watch it on your cable channel, Bounce. You could watch it with an antenna on Bounce. You can watch it on the Brown Sugar app. And I just started a brand new show on the UMC channel that I can't say the name of until the trades come out tomorrow. So you can look at my page, Official Tangerine, and see what that show is. But that's going to be a really good show as well. I was in the movie I Got the Hookup To. I was in Johnson Family Vacation. I was in Girlfriends. I've been working since like the Steve Harvey Show. Like, I've been in the game for a really long time. But right now I'm doing two live shows on Facebook and YouTube while we're on quarantine. And one of them is a talent show and one of them is a dating show. And I was lucky enough to have Jersey dance on the talent show this Tuesday with that beautiful lighting. His room, his studio was so dope. And he led us into this whole space and he just grooved for us to a song he had never heard before. And he was great.
Definitely was not prepared. I was like, I'm going to come on here. I did a routine that I was outrageous. I just got done teaching. So I was like, all right. So I just taught. But then you was like, oh, the music is going to be muted. I was like, man, I don't know if it's going to work.
Copyright.
I was like, I'll just do whatever. I was like, yo, I'm going to just put my dancing skills to the test. And I'm going to just really freestyle
it. You killed it. You killed it. You were great.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for even just having me come on the show and just kind of vibe. And now your audience is quite entertaining.
Thank you. The audience, my shows, ladies and gentlemen, on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Facebook and YouTube at 3:00 Pacific, the comments go on the screen during the show. So if you're watching the show, you become a part of the show because I'll read your comments out loud. I'll ask questions that you may have asked. And so people were talking to him. People were loving him. We had some people on there that could sing really well. We had some people who couldn't sing at all. So it was a really fun time last Tuesday. And I can't wait to see what happens this Tuesday. I'm supposed to have a blind rapper on this week. So we'll see.
Ooh, okay. A blind rapper.
Yeah. Should be good.
So there's a lot of people in this audience right now that are probably super talented. So make sure y'all jump in. Yo, tell them where they can find you and how they can get on the show.
Official Tangerine is my name on Facebook and Instagram. Tangerine is not spelled like the fruit. It's spelled T-A-N-J-A-R-E-E-N like it is on the flyer that he posted. They used to put the name of who you were live with on the top, but I don't see my name up there. So yeah, T-A-N-J-A-R-E-E-N. You can find me on tangerine.com. You can find me on YouTube under just Tangerine, Twitter, just Tangerine. I have my own Discord server, which is hella lit. You can find that in the link in my bio. I talk to my guests. I mean, my Team Tangerine members. I talk back to them. I engage a lot. I reply to my comments myself. I don't have my assistant do it. So I'm really interactive with everybody who really F's with me. So just if you know how to spell my name, you can find me on almost every platform that's out.
That's right. So you just speak so eloquently and you are so just ready to go, Tangerine.
I'm a host. I talk for a living. I'm a voiceover artist too. I'm the voice of the egg on about 27 Denny's animated commercials. So where there's egg, bacon, pancakes, sausage, there was a burger, I think, for a couple episodes. But yeah, I've been doing voiceover work for a long time.
Wow, definitely. That's inspiring. So talk to us about the voiceover work, because I've never actually had a voiceover actress on the show before. So you'll be the first.
Oh, okay.
So talk to us about what it takes to be a voiceover actress and actually what goes into that, because people don't usually audition. I've never really hear about people just saying, I want to be a voiceover actress. They say they want to be an actress. So it's interesting that you actually do that. So talk to us about that dynamic.
It is acting, but it doesn't matter what you look like. I could play a different race. Like, you just found out, if people didn't know, that Cleveland from the Cleveland Show was played by a white guy all this time. A lot of people didn't realize that, and they probably thought it was racist. He stepped down from the job because he felt like, after all the Black Lives Matter movement that happened this year, he felt guilty. And he was like, you know what? This job should be done by a Black man. I'm going to resign. Okay, well, sure, you've already got residuals coming in for the rest of your life. You don't have to work anymore, but I appreciate the gesture. But the reason that he did that is because the voiceover world is kind of small. And once they choose you, they choose the person that can do the most voices for the show. So each person has the ability to do several characters. And so they don't really look at your race. They listen to the voice and they go, okay, he'd be great for that. That's why Regina King was the voice of both the little boys on the Boondocks. As a woman, she got to play two little Black boys, because they're not really worried about what you look like or what race you are. It's just what you can sound like. So I auditioned after taking a class. I took a class that was a couple months long, and then I just started being submitted for auditions, and I recorded them right into my iPhone and submitted them online. And I booked a major campaign that I just started shooting during the quarantine, right when it started. I was shooting at the studio, and then I had to stop the job. And then they brought the equipment to my house, and I finished the job over the last few months from my spare room. So that big job, I can't talk about, but when it comes out, you will know it's me. I'm super excited about it, and it's going to be a huge, huge thing. But I was able to do it from my home. So if anybody wants to get into voiceover work, people will tell you it's a small thing. You can't get in until somebody dies. It's not true. Take classes, learn how your voice works and what it could be good for, whether it's commercial, whether it's animation, like know what your niche is, make a reel, which is like $1,200, and just start submitting yourself.
So that's pretty much what it is. It's always just the people just to get the starting of it, right? People always, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. But if you don't actually start it, you won't really get anywhere, right? So you've been in this business now for over, what, 2 decades, right? So talk to us about your journey. How did you train to even get to where you are right now?
I did that obligatory play in school that everybody did growing up, a multicultural, you know, you have the multicultural plays in elementary school. I did a regular play. I think it was Hansel and Gretel. I was a gingerbread man. I was 6 years old. That's when I decided I wanted to be an actress, even though I didn't know what it was called to be an actress. I knew I wanted to have that feeling of making people laugh when I said something on a stage. I started taking free theater lessons after school in elementary and junior high. I did free theater in the Inglewood Playhouse because I'm from Inglewood, Cali, West Side, represent, whoop, whoop. And then I went to college for TV and film production because I knew my mom wanted me to get a degree, but I knew I was going to be entertainment. So I figured I better learn all sides of the camera, not just be the pretty looking girl. I'm not calling myself pretty, but they make you pretty when you go through hair and makeup. So I don't want to just be the pretty looking girl in front of the camera. I wanted to actually know what everybody's job was behind the camera. So I went to college, got my bachelor's. I have my own company called Citric Cinema Incorporated. And so I make content. And it started from a dream I had when I was 6.
Wow. Well, look at that. You made it happen. Now you're here.
Yes.
So jumping into just like something more fun now, right? Because you just gave us everything that we needed to know about you. Let's jump into what you actually do. You host and you entertain and you play games and you give us energy. So I want to play some games. But you down to play some games on Black Culture, the breakdown.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to play a game called Levels. It's actually my favorite game, a game that I actually created. And it's basically where we categorize artists on legendary status as being the highest. So they're superstar being at the lowest, iconic, and then legendary. All right. So that's
okay.
Yeah, but they're all still, at the end of the day, they're all still dope, because if you still need to be a superstar, you're still a dope individual, right? So we're going to jump into this. Let's start with me. Xavier was just talking about Kanye West.
Yes. And everything
going through. What are your thoughts on Kanye West? And drop that in the comments below, you guys. Is Kanye West a superstar? Is he iconic? Or at the highest, is he legendary? Talk to me.
I would say he's iconic. He's past superstar. He's made it to the part where all races know who he is. I think that he starts a conversation, whether you agree with him or not, in a lot of rooms. If you say his name, there's a strong opinion about him. So I think something goes for that. Like they say, all publicity is good publicity. He definitely keeps his name on your mouth. And he married somebody else who's really good with publicity. He got into a family that's extremely known for their publicity. And what he's doing in the he's very talented as a musician. He's got a music career. He's got a spiritual walk. He did something that no other, you know, pop R&B star has done with his whole church. Jesus is King tour, which I went to experience over here in LA. He's, my camera went low. Okay. So I will put him right there in the middle. I think that he's very gifted. He says some things that upset people that won't put him all the way up to iconic yet. When he dies, he will be.
You think he will be legendary?
When he dies, he will be legendary. Because we always wait to finish giving the flowers to people. So
you don't think, let me ask you, do you think that there's any living legends right now?
I think the people that are, I mean, not in the music industry. They're probably some of the music industry, I'm drawing a blank because I'm on the spot. But I think the people that are really fighting for the cause, and doing what needs to be done and not afraid to use their platform to speak out against the things that other people like myself may be afraid to actually say because I don't want to be canceled and I don't want to lose fans or whatever. I think those people would be considered iconic. I'm trying to think who was celebrities though. Will Smith.
Patti LaBelle would be legendary.
Patti LaBelle. Legendary is the top one, right? I keep saying iconic. Okay, yeah. Patti. Yeah. Man, watching that, speaking of verses, watching that Versus was like so much fun to see those two ladies give each other love like that. Yeah. Man, why am I drawing blanks on people I love? Of course, all the old school people, but I'm just thinking of, I don't know why Will Smith keeps coming to mind, because he crossed over to everything and he's so positive. We feel bad for him for what Jada did to him this year. We love him even more because we're like, oh, Will, how did she do that to you with August? But let me not bring that up.
All right, let's jump into another one. All right.
So hi, Taraji. Hi, Gladys Knight. Yes, of course. I meant both of them. Hi, Genesis. Hi, Kane. I'm listening to you, sir.
All right, so Monica. Is Monica a superstar, iconic, or she's legendary?
She's not legendary. See, if I was making this list, iconic would be at the top because it's like, I felt like Chadwick Boseman I felt like he's at the top. He did something that...
You don't feel like legendary is the highest that you can get?
It's your show, so yes, legendary is the highest. Because I felt like when Chadwick died, I was like, man, he played icons and now he's an icon. Like, we will always remember him for his gifts and for the positive Black image that he put on little boys by being Black Panther. So he's at the highest. Monica, I would put her as a superstar. She's dope. Everybody wants her to be their baby mama or their best friend because she's cool as hell or she'll say what's on her mind. I think she's a lot of fun. I don't see her on the top level that you said.
Okay, got you.
But she's talented.
Super talented. All right, last one, but not least, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is up there. He's legendary because he's teaching us, like, that line where he said, I buy the bar instead of buying out the bar. Like, that's what we need to learn from our role models, from our rappers. We need to learn what to do with our money because a lot of us get a big check when we're in the entertainment industry and blow it because we have no idea what to do. This man is a business mogul. He bagged Beyonce. I mean, and together and separately, they are both incredible artists and business people and just a great example of Black love. So he's somebody that gets his title while he's still alive for sure.
Definitely.
Even though when I went to see Beyonce's concert with him, the On the Run tour, I was calling it Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, even though it was both of them. And I could see the audience felt the same way because they were on their feet whenever she came on the stage. And then when she went back and he was on the stage, we would sit down and just be like, yeah, go Jay-Z. And then when she came, we were like, ah! And I was like, oh, this is kind of be hard for him.
Can't do Hov like that. Hov definitely gets his roses. He's got so many albums that he's done a lot for the hip-hop community. You know what I'm saying? He came from the projects and made it out here into the Billionaires Club. You know, it's kind of not really done. You know what I'm saying? So he's definitely goes in the status. Getting Beyonce on your arm though do make you a legend.
I agree. I'm just telling you what I saw at the concert. People was like on their feet for her and like, yay, sitting down for him. But yes, he's definitely a top level.
Got you. All right, so that was a game called Levels. But we're gonna argue that later on about the if legendary or iconic should be higher, but that's an interesting
it's your show, bro. Oprah was given by Genesis here in the comments. Oprah's for sure on the top.
Definitely. Oprah's definitely legendary. I'm gonna say Gladys Knight is also legendary.
Yes.
I'm gonna say Lizzo is a superstar.
Lizzo's a superstar for now. Yeah. Her career is still new though. So
yeah. Let's jump into this. Would you rather dance like Janet Jackson or sing like Whitney Houston?
Sing like Whitney, because I can hire some dancers to go behind me. And I could learn a couple of two steps and then have the dancers doing all the hard stuff behind me. But if I can sing, you get the big deals and the big contracts by singing. Dancers don't make as much as the singers.
You see, and this is why dancers are just never respected. It's so sad.
They're not. What? I used to be a dancer. And when I was doing music videos and realizing that the camera would swoop by me real quick and then go to the pretty girl that's just standing there and then go back to the main singer. And I was like, I rehearsed for 2 weeks to learn these moves and you just going to sweep by my feet? I was like, nah, this ain't for me.
But it's the truth. You know, we definitely got to put some more respect on these dancers' name out here. That's definitely... a task of mine. I'm going to really try to work on that.
Sorry if I hurt y'all's feelings.
Howdy, we keep it real here on Black Coach Breakdown. One more question. Would you rather dance like Michael Jackson or sing like Michael Jackson? But we didn't mind because you just said you would hire some dancers to dance behind you. So at the end of the day, I guess you already answered that question.
Yeah, but you know what? Michael's voice was so, like, if you heard Michael's voice, I don't know if we loved him just because of his voice. Because if you put him against like a Usher or somebody who's hitting all these falsettos, I don't know if it's his voice so much as it's the wow factor of him starting at such a young age, the wow factor of him being in an all-boys group, the wow factor of his lyrics being so incredible, and then the wow factor of his dance. Like, you put the whole package together. Like, Janet Jackson, you don't look at her for her singing ability. She's just a great entertainer. Like, you know, like Aaliyah and Ashanti, you know, it's not their singing. It's like, oh, they're pretty and they have a great package. So for that question, I would probably want to sing like Michael, actually, just because, I mean, I'm sorry, I would rather dance like Michael because he has some incredible moves, and his moves are still being copied by artists to this day.
Tangerine, he was a super dope guest on the show today.
Thank you.
I mean, the Black Culture, the Breakdown.
My pleasure.
Your presence and your aura and your radiance, your beautiful, vibrant soul, and we'll be tuning in. So let people know where we can find you and what you got coming next.
You can find me on all platforms if you know how to spell my name. Again, it's TANJAREEN, Tangerine. If you watch this replay, I didn't name any people who have passed away because most of the ones that we loved are already on that top status. I was trying to think of living people. I see you still putting in names like Whitney. Of course, she's up there at the top. Find me on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in TANJAREEN. My Tangerine's Top Talent is on Tuesdays. My Shoot Your Shot dating show is on Thursdays. They are both a lot of fun. You can watch me on the show Family Time on the Bounce channel. And then my new show that's coming out, I'll be announcing it in the trades this week. Just look at my Instagram page for the info. Thanks for having me on the show, Jersey. This was fun.
No worries. I hope you can come back.
I will. You got me on the day of the Emmys. I'm sitting here watching the Emmys. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to go do an interview. I'm tripping. I didn't realize they were today. So you got me. But this was a lot of fun. So thank you.
Definitely. Appreciate you coming on.
Bye.
All right, you guys. So that was Tangerine. You love her energy. She give you that same energy on her show. So make sure you catch her. Let's get the cast member from The Shy in the building. Let's get the young queen, Genesis Denise Hale, in the building. This young lady, I actually got a chance to speak with her last week on Founders Conversation, which is on my school's IG. Here she goes.
Hey, let me see if I can get this right. Okay. Can you see me?
I can see you bright and clear. What's up?
Okay. What's up?
Welcome to the Breakdown.
Huh?
Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. I'm ready.
You ready? Ready? So we just saw Tangerine just came in and definitely gave us all the games and all the fun just now. But you know, I had a chance to chat and chop it up last week on my series Founders Conversation. Hence why you're here now. Your spirit was just so big. I was like, no, I gotta get you back. I knew I was gonna have Robin on here today. And I was like, no, I gotta get you to interact. And just come back and bring that energy, because I know Robin has that same energy as well. Just for me to realize that you guys went live yesterday as well.
Yes, we did. We did. I did have a, I decided to have her as a person I interviewed, because that's like my big sister. It's a role model that I, you know, want to keep following. So I did. I had to ask her. I had to ask some questions.
All right. So let's kind of jump into The Shy real quick, Maisha. Okay. Well, I'm calling you Maisha, but now we're about to talk about Maisha.
Either one is
right. Genesis. So let's talk about your character from season one and her growth into season two. Well, we just ended season three, and now we're about to get ready for season four. So talk to me about just her growth of the character all the way from the beginning.
Well, so in the beginning, Maisha was basically, you know, another angry Black girl. And you know, you didn't really understand who she was at the time. And so all you got was she was just tough. But she was also related to, I guess, you know, one of the pretty popular girls in the school. And so it was kind of like, okay, like, what is she doing here? What does she have some type of significance for? What is it supposed to be? And initially, I believe it was supposed to be like maybe that episode and one more. But it turned into a lot more than that. And she went from just being a bully to now becoming somewhat of a love interest, and then becoming a part of, you know, Papa's story as we, you know, as we go on from season one, two, and three, which I think is amazing, because I guess it shows more. I forgot in season two, you also got to see a little bit of how she lived and the reason why she was doing what she was doing to Kevin in season one. So you kind of got a reason. You kind of got a sneak peek into her life and what she does. She's very nurturing. She does take care of a lot of siblings. And, you know, she's very, like, family-oriented, but she's also very smart, and she has her goals in front of her. So she went from just being maybe 2-3 stereotypes to being, you know, very multifaceted and an open book when it comes to just her personality and how she deals with people and why she does what she does. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed just seeing that, you know what I'm saying, seeing her go from being, you know, maybe a statistic to being somebody who is loved, you know, and who has confidence, who is fearless, who can bounce back from, you know what I'm saying, little petty kid things that, you know, most kids don't know how to get through. So yes, that's kind of what the evolution is. She went from just being maybe 2-3 things to flipping those things on their head and also being more.
So the comments is actually Official Tangerine is saying, you and Papa were so great together. And then she said, she was a bully, now she's a sweetheart. You know, but it's actually quite interesting to see the growth of Maisha. And it's, you know, because she did start off a little rough and just, it unfolded with just her taking care of her siblings and then into just kind of really how she blossomed. So what do we expect from Maisha in season four? Without giving away much of the season, what could we expect from that?
Man, hopefully, I feel like you will get to see more of her evolution. You will get to see, you know, what she looks like once her goals are reached. But maybe one or two of her goals are reached. You'll get to see how she deals with living outside of Kevin, Jake, and Papa's storyline. That's kind of, I guess, what we hope to see is more of her as a person instead of an asset to, you know, the main characters, which is also fine, you know, because she does add a little flavor to whatever whatever scene she's a part of. But hopefully, yeah, you'll just get to see her be her and actually be a kid and grow up in the city of Chicago as a girl, you know what I'm saying, that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah. So. Robin Hood Music is in the building.
Robin!
So talk to us about just now how you've kind of just jumped from season one to season two, still here in season three, and now season four is picked up, and yet Maisha's still here. Just the evolution of your character and just now, just the growth of you as an actress now in this character. Like, how has that translated for you that, wow, they obviously love Maisha so much that they keep bringing her back and giving her more?
I think, honestly, when it comes to me as an actress, I'm learning how to put less of myself in a character. Mm-hmm. I'm learning how to embody somebody else, which is why I guess you get to see the evolution of Maisha, because in the beginning, I was trying really hard because that was also my first like huge TV thing that, you know, I didn't know how big it was going to be. I thought it was just an audition, but when I got to set and I changed a little bit, you know what I'm saying, it became less about me and my goals. It became more about how do I tell this story, and how well do I tell this story. And I think that's what the greatest actors have, like, that's a skill. How well are you able to tell this story to people? How good are you at making people forget you're in a movie or in a TV show? And that's kind of what increases your longevity. Is just making sure that you are professional enough to be like, look, when they say cut, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? We can play a little bit. We can talk, we can laugh, whatever. But when it's time to, when they yell action again, when it's time to work, you have to learn how to just hop back in it.
Absolutely.
And tell the story and completely let yourself go. So yeah, me as an actress, it's a very humbling experience as well, because I'm learning that there are also people who want to do this, and there are people who actually look like Maisha. There are people who actually look like me who feel like they can't do this. There are people who are going through the same thing Maisha is going through, and they feel like, you know, saying, how is she getting this? Yeah. Or who, you know what I'm saying, like, the main question I would get would be like, who likes her? And so me as an actress now, I have another story to tell just besides Maisha's. I have 16,000 people's, 1,000 other people's story to tell and give them answers on how to actually, you know what I'm saying, really get through certain situations that are given to me, like through the writers or just through life or how I say lines and things like that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's very humbling because now I'm a pillar for people and I really, really enjoy that.
Well, first of all, your energy, like I said, is infectious, right? And you have this wisdom about you at your age, which is kind of unmatched. I haven't really met too many 15-year-olds that can speak as eloquently and can portray their emotions. So, precisely, right? You're pretty good at that, and that's why you're so successful at your age. And, you know, kind of diverting a little bit now from the acting, and talk to me about the music, because we didn't get to really tap into that too much the last time. But I know you do a little bit of poetry and rapping, correct?
Yes.
So talk to me about the musical side about Genesis.
Well, like I mentioned in the last interview, my dad is, he actually is not with me today. I was trying to get him, but I'm in my mom's house now.
Okay.
So we're gonna work on that.
Okay,
but, work on it. yeah, so my dad, he is an MC. He has been teaching youth for a very, very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And when I was, you know what I'm saying, when I would be with him, he would, everything he did was music. He would play beats early in the morning from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. It would be all music. And it would be all his music. And so I would be like, how do you, like, what is this? I want to learn this. And so even when I was younger, he was a little bit more, what's it called, like, hands-on with writing, but, you know, yeah, he was a little more hands-on with writing, and so I kind of took after that. I wanted to learn how to do it, and so as he was writing, he would teach me certain things, or I would just pick up, he would give me a poem, or he would give me a rap and say it like this, and I'd be like, are you sure? He'd be like, yeah, say it like this, or you can add your own flavor, woo-woo-woo. And over time, that just started to become a part of my personality. It became a habit. It became a trait. It was just something that I knew how to do. And it was in my blood. So that's kind of where, like, the entire music side comes from. But I also sing. And so my mom, her, being around her, all she did was, she did musical theater. And so, again, I was always singing. I was always, you know, listening to her sing and trying to mimic her, or learning all her songs from her plays. So those, I get them from both sides, but the poet part or the more like rap.
Let me ask, in terms of what your style is in music, what would you say your niche or your style is?
I would say my niche is definitely like feel good R&B. I love R&B. I love artists like Givion, I love artists like Ben Fayez, I love, but I also kind of love, like, pop music, so, you know, like, Lizzo, and I'm kind of drawing blanks right now, but it's, like, so many other artists that I listen to. But my main genre, I love R&B. That's my
You love R&B, okay. All right, so I want you to actually give us something, right? So I know last time we didn't get you to really spit something, but you're going to do something for us tonight now. What you want to do? You're going to sing? You're going to rap? We got people, Tangerines, like, oh, snap, you're going to rap for us? Genesis?
Okay.
You know?
Let me see. Okay. Let me see. Okay. I am affirmation royalty. Been that since out the womb, word of mouth is my greatest asset. I mean, I can get everyone on the same page without reading the room or touching the pen and pad yet. Do this song slap yet? Maybe I should stop spitting and give you vocals. Pretty notes do get you more excited instead of hearing the real. Some of y'all just want to blast rap cap and chill because only 808 and auto-tune got that euphoric feel. Well, I'm sorry, but my pen goes hard. I make handshakes with the sun. No need to reach for the stars. My atmosphere is a masterpiece made by gurus and gods. Light years ahead of you rappers, infinity and beyond. See, even your favorite lyricist can't get with this. I'm vicious. It's my vision to make any average person seem delirious. I'm serious. The power of my words is just ridiculous. Name another rapper that you think is spark with Genesis. Go ahead. I'm listening. Just know that we different. See, I'm globally multifaceted. They're just all Americans. Trying to battle me will really be a bummer. But someone got to bring the heat up in this cold summer. And that's
Genesis. Yo, you better stop playing. Yo, where's my, I need my air horn machine. Yo, I need my air horn machine. Yo, you body.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh, you really got bars. Okay, all right. So, all right. So talk to us about where you are musically. Are you looking for a record deal? Or are you just still kind of cultivating your craft as an artist? Talk to me about how you're feeling about that.
Right now, I'm not really focused on a record deal because I have a lot of things going on, you know, by myself already. Mm-hmm. And I think if I work on my craft more, then I can go searching for, you know, a proper label that's going to represent me as a person and, you know, understand where I'm coming from and not just be here for the money. Because, you know, the money does, you know, it is a part, it's a large part of how we live.
Absolutely.
But we got to make sure that also my sole purpose for doing music is to make sure that people feel good. So I do want to definitely work on making sure that I perfect my sound first and perfect the energy that I'm giving off when I say my words or when I sing the song. I want people to feel exactly how I'm feeling or make them feel a certain type of way. I want you to be able to, you know what I'm saying, when life is going on, I want you to play a certain song that you like and tune all the way out. You know what I'm saying? For like maybe 2 to 3 minutes, maybe 4 if the song is long. And just reset yourself. It's kind of like a meditation with a beat. That's kind of what I want.
Ah, meditation with a beat. I love it. Genesis, the comments went crazy, all right? Let me just read some. It says, you ain't seen you rap. She said, yes, go sis. I need you on Tangerine Top Talent on Tuesday. Genesis, you definitely got to hit up Tangerine and get on her talent show. She got the craziest talent show on YouTube right now and Facebook. Giving me Young Queen Latifah vibes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that was Lexi D'Amita, who is also a super dope actress. You should definitely connect with her. David saying, hands up. Gail said, really good. Tangerine said, I like. Excellent mindset. Come on, yo. She's very clear. Head is aware. Not even just at 15 years old. Genesis, you gave us inspiration. You gave us life. You gave us bomb. We appreciate you. But one thing before you go, we got your good friend Robin Hood in the building. And I want to ask you this. Her character, Dre. What has Maisha taken away from Dre on the show?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Dre, I think from just watching Miriam, because this season, I guess, was the first time that I met her. And immediately, I was like, okay, this is somebody that I need to definitely connect with in my life because she is just a force on the screen by herself. And I immediately, like, fell in love with what she does. And she also raps. And she's really, 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 really good at it. Y'all need to go get that EP, Alter Ego. But anyways, man, I was listening to her. I think she did one scene. I forgot what scene it was. But she was talking. And I kind of got lost in it because I kind of forgot that there was, like, this was a show. You know what I'm saying? This was a TV show. This is something, you know, I kind of forgot that I was in this, you know? I was like, wow, she's really good. And learning from her, I've learned that there are definitely some things I need to work on to just match that level of energy that she has and match that level of assertiveness that she has. She's very awesome. She has done a lot of things for me just, you know, seeing her and watching her She's very inspirational. And even when we had our interview yesterday, I was just talking to her and I'm like, man, this is like the big sister that I didn't have and that I really, 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 really needed a long time ago. But I'm very, very glad that she's here now and I get to talk to her. So definitely I will give her her flowers right now, right here, because she is so awesome and she's amazing. Yeah, so she's really done a lot for me and my Yusha, because now I get to learn from her and take some of her techniques and how she says things and probably implement it into how I speak with my character and evolve her.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, just even blessing your friend before she gets on here. We appreciate your presence and your energy. You're super talented, and we're going to keep looking out for you. Let the people know where they could find you and what you got coming on real quick.
Thank you. So you can find me. This is my Instagram, which is Genesis Denise Hill. It is my full name, GenesisDeniseHalle. You can also follow me on Twitter at Genesis Hill with an extra E after Hill. And coming up now, I have some music for you guys. I have the season 3 recap that I do recaps every season for just people who want to catch up on it. So that's coming. And yeah, I do motivational videos. I have some. I haven't posted them, but I have some coming. So look out for those. And yeah.
Okay. This is Genesis Denise Hill, you guys, from the hit series The Shy. Season 4 is coming, so make sure y'all watch that. Thank you so much again for coming on. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
All right, stay blessed.
All right, you too.
All right, you guys. So again, that was Genesis Denise Hill. Super talented, young, independent. Come on, she's really really killing the game out here. I'm actually quite impressed. Was impressed with her the first time, impressed with her again. She's doing her thing on The Shy. Let's actually get Robin Hood, a.k.a. Miriam, a.k.a. Dre, in the building. And we are going to get started with her version of what's going on The Shy. What's up, y'all? How y'all feeling? Talk to me. Thank y'all so much for tuning into Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey again. It's been a super dope show. I hope y'all are definitely tuning in and feeling the vibes. Y'all seen the girl Tangerine, the homie Tangerine come in. You seen the homie XAB come in. You seen the young queen Genesis. And now we're about to get Robin Hood on the line. I'm not sure why there's a bit of a delay though. Let me see what's going on. Let's get her on here. Now, how y'all feeling today? I appreciate y'all definitely tuning in and just giving us energy and love. Appreciate that. Drop some hearts. It says Robin Hood is unable to join. Let me see why. Now, let me add you. Let me try again. There she go.
What's good?
What's going on?
Everything is working. No complaints, you know? I'm out here. What's good?
God is good. First of all, your braids is fresh and I love it.
Oh, thank you. You know.
It's fresh. So welcome to Culture The Breakdown.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. It's been, you know, a journey and interesting just following you on Instagram and just kind of taking a look into your world and your alter ego, you know, kind of like the universe that you kind of have going on right now.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, we just had your castmate from The Shy, Genesis Denise Hill, on the mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
She sung your praises and said that you're definitely like a big sis to her. So that was actually quite nice to hear her say. But let's kind of jump into you and get to know you a little bit. Talk to us about who you are and where you're from.
Well, I was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I always rep Philly as the place where I'm from. I'm an actress. I'm a hip-hop lyricist. I'm a voiceover artist. You know, just a versatile artist that believes in balance. I'm a Libra. So, you know, I'm always just trying to achieve balance. And I'm really indecisive. So I think that's why I kind of have my hands in so many different things, because it helps me to be balanced. And plus, I'm just super, you know, I'd like to think of myself as being super creative. So I just like to try, you know, new things often. So, yeah.
All right. So now Talk to me about how you actually built up your career. Mm-hmm. Walk us through your journey. Walk us back to young Miriam, right?
And I'll always be young Miriam. but basically, I started acting in high school. The first job that I had was with a company called the American Music Theater Festival. And so it was a company that just had, you know, they would do different plays, musicals. And so I was a part of the young company, which was the Rainbow Company. And so basically, you know, we would do small plays that were written by students, and we would tour, you know, and go to different schools and do these plays. And it was really eye-opening for me because it was my first, like, paid, you know, experience as an artist. And so it just taught me a lot of responsibility. But moving forward, you know, I attended Freedom Theater for a little while. Like I said, I grew up in Philly. So this is a theater company that was actually directly across the street from my high school. So, you know, when I would get out of school, if I wasn't in basketball practice, I would go across the street, you know, to Freedom Theater. And I was in an intensive training program for young actors. And then I decided I wanted to really focus, you know, more and hone my craft. So I went to University of the Arts to get my BFA in acting. And then after that, I went to Yale to get my master's in acting. What? So I know I'm like, you know, kind of jumping from, you know, like point to point in terms of education. But I mean,
you're diving into kind of, I didn't even know that, right? So the fact that actually, so I'm a choreographer and a creative director, and I actually have a school called Lotus Creative Academy. I'm all about education in terms of really knowing your craft, right?
For sure.
The fact that you just actually really trained in this just speaks to just how seriously you take your craft, right?
Yeah. So
it's inspiring to kind of hear someone that take it from level to level to level. So it's not from point to point, it's actually intense.
It's levels to this shit. Come on, you know.
Levels to this. So I'm kind of jumping. Okay, one second, Miriam. My live is telling me I have 1 minute remaining. So what I'm going to do is end the live, and then we're going to come back on so you don't get cut off in the middle of whatever your next point's going to be. Cool?
Okay, sounds good.
Everybody, tune right back in. We're going to end the live and just jump right back to the conversation with Robin Hood, a.k.a. Miriam. All right, y'all. So we're going to talk to y'all in 2 seconds. Jump back in. All right, y'all, welcome back to Black Culture, The Breakdown. We're going to get right back into it. Y'all hear that in the back? That's God's Grace by your very own Robin Hood Music. Wait. It's on the straight fire. We're going to get it back. Welcome back to Black Culture, The Breakdown. Hey, there she go.
Hey.
All right, we're back. So, I know you were, that track is fire. Straight
Thank
fire.
You. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to definitely dive into your music in a second because I actually got a chance to listen to it and I actually want to delve into Ego. But just kind of jumping back into when you were growing up and just kind of giving us the you know, the recognition of how important taking your craft seriously is. You know, and staying true to it. Where did you actually be like, all right, I actually made a gig that this is actually like a real gig? What was like your first, like, you know?
That was the job that I just mentioned, working with the Rainbow Company. And we were told very early on, like, listen, you're being paid, which means we're considering you to be young professionals, you know, like, we're not just paying you to screw around and essentially like act like kids, you know, we're paying you to be young adults, you know, young professionals, and, you know, come out here and tell the story and get that coin. So, I mean, that's really what it was. That was the first, you know, opportunity where it was just kind of like, okay, wow, this is really changing my perspective, because it went from a something I want to do to something I'm doing.
Gotcha. All right. So when did you realize, all right, now I got to really level up, because you're only as good as maybe your last gig, right? You got to make sure you're staying on top of your craft and staying on top of these auditions to make sure you keep getting the next gig and the next gig. How do you understand that game of the dog eat dog world and just kind of navigating that through just staying true to yourself?
I mean, you know, I have an acronym for it. I call it HOT, H-O-T, honest, open, and truthful. And I really just try to practice that privately and publicly, and of course, professionally. And so I just try to remain honest with myself. I mean, the type of, you know, projects that I work on, whether it's theater, because I'm, you know, I really started this business in the theater and kind of became really rooted in that before starting to do television and film. So, you know, just the projects that I do, I just try to make sure that I'm telling stories that I would want to hear, you know, as an audience member. And, yeah, just making sure I'm talking and I'm listening and I'm making sure that the story is coming across and that I'm being a really great, you know, collaborator and having an ensemble mentality, you know. So, you know, I respect everybody that's on the set, from, you know, the food caterers, you know, to the executive, you know, producers. So I think that it's a collective combined effort. So really, I have to play my part, you know. So.
All right. So now, jumping into The Chi real quick, right? Yeah. Let's talk about your character Dre on The Chi.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually taking a look at, you know, one of the past episode on the first episode on the last season,
mm-hmm.
with the wedding.
Yeah.
And just how dramatic it was, with they like just the. They were running to the wedding, and I was just like, okay, they're not going to get there on time. But then they got there on time, and just you gave the truth bracelet. And I was like, you know, just diving into that character and really playing that role.
Yeah.
How did you mentally prepare for that?
You know, first off, when I read the character description and I read a couple of scenes, you know, that I had to put on tape, what I had to audition with, I was just really moved by who Dre was, you know. I think a lot of people probably didn't know what to expect from her because she's a new character. Like you said, she gets introduced at this wedding. That's like, who is she? Yeah. You know, I wasn't present in season one and season two, you know. So this is an individual who's from that community, but just somebody who you haven't met yet, you know. So to prepare for it, you know, I had to really binge watch, you know, the first two seasons and just really get comfortable with what that world, you know, was going to be, the world that I was going to be playing in. And it helps that my mom lives in Chicago, because I was just kind of like, okay, Southside Chicago, like I'm sort of familiar, you know, with the energy a bit. Not to say like, oh, you know, I'm a native or anything, by no means. But at the same time, you know, I grew up in Philly. I know the hood. I know that type of energy. I know swag. You know, I know just what it's like to be in a live in a city where there's violence, you know, constantly. You know, so just. I just had to put myself in that frame of mind. And then I had to get into a new frame of mind, because now I'm playing a partner who's married and, you know, to a partner who has children. You know, Drake comes in this like, look, I'm like, you know, young bachelorette out this thing. Like, I don't, you know, I don't really know how to raise kids. You know, I learned a lot in these, you know, in the first couple of episodes. You see how things change. In the first episode, things just change drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go from a wedding and everything is like, hey, you know, Kiki. And then the next thing you know, Keisha goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a honeymoon period, myself and Nina, you know, played by Tyler Abercrombie. We just don't have that. It goes right to she's missing. And then the next time you see me, I'm you know, in Tent City. You know, with some mace, like, yo, you know, where's Keisha and who has her phone? What's good?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So,
for the comments, the people are here and says, I rewatched season three patiently.
What's good, everybody?
First, with the bracelet and the meaning behind it, I just feel Dre is going to come with a twist for season four.
Okay.
I missed the show already. You know,
That's love.
Definitely.
Been a lot of support with the show this season. Yeah. So I'm just grateful to, you know, just to be a part of it, to be telling these stories, you know, and just especially with representation, you know, just mattering and just with all of these movements that are focused on just like uplifting our people, uplifting a culture. It just feels really awesome, you know, right now to be a part of that.
Definitely. I'm going to say Chicago right now is definitely ringing a lot of bells. And I'm going to say that Rashai has definitely been a part of just kind of putting Chicago on the forefront right now.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
Today I saw an article like, you know, G Herbo, Chance the Rapper, and all of them are united just, you know, helping out the kids just now. And I was like, yo, Chicago is really on fire right now.
That's what's up. And you mentioned G Herbo. You know, he actually was on episode, I think that was episode 8 or 9. You know, that he's on. So that was love. I got to chop it up with him a little bit on set.
Tell us about that. You get to work with so many dope people on this show. This is Lena, right? That is just like phenomenal in everything that she does. Queen of Slim is just like, I was saying, I got a chance to, I went to ABFF Honors. I was there when they honored her.
Oh, dope.
I was like, yo, what she's accomplished.
Yeah.
Just, and she was a production assistant, you know, and I was like, wow, she just, it, talk to me about.
We talked about it, it's levels, you know, she didn't just come in and it's like this immediate jump. I know a lot of people think that it's overnight. That really doesn't exist, you know, even if you audition for something for the first time and you book it, you still had some trials and tribulations up to that point, you know? So it's different for everybody. You know, this is why you have to stay in your own lane and be on your own path and not compare, you know, but she's worked her way up, you know? So my I don't have a hat on, but if I did, you know, my hat goes off.
Give people, you know, credit when it's deserved, because, you know, when people really work hard, especially when underrepresented people work hard.
For sure.
But how is it just working with just the greats like her and people like Jacob Lattimore? And I know that they just added Candy's now a part of the cast. It's just so many celebrities that are coming through the cast. And it's kind of dope because it kind of gives you that old sitcom feeling when the celebrities used to roll through. You know what I'm saying? Definitely kind of gets that feel. How is it just working with all these different individuals?
I mean, I didn't work directly with any of the individuals that you just mentioned. Oh, well, Jacob. Yeah, I worked directly with Jacob, but I didn't have any scenes with Lena or any scenes with Candy or like Lala. But I would a lot of times be present when they were working because I was shadowing all of the directors because I have an interest in directing as well. Okay. So, you know, I'm like right up under the director, you know. But yeah, I mean, I was really welcomed. It was a very warm atmosphere when I became a part of the cast and when I stepped on set. You know, I came to work, you know. I'm just ready to communicate the truth of the text and, like I said, be a team player, pass the ball. So everybody that, you know, I encountered with, they were ready to just play too, you know. And I think, you know, it being a new season and they're dealing with different casts that they haven't dealt with, you know, previously. I think it was a real shift for everybody, but I really think everyone, you know, rose to the challenge, you know? So I know it was a huge shift for Lena, but I think this gave her an opportunity to, like, you know, take the reins and try to get the show in the shape that she, you know, wanted it to be in. So, yeah, I mean, everybody was just really dope. So from Luke James to Jasmine, you know, they played Trigg and Imani. Everybody was just really cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into your music, right?
Yeah.
Because different side of you that is like, because you have all this acting training, but then it's like, yo, I'm not done. I do music.
Right? Yeah.
So talk to me about the musical side of Miriam.
Yeah, I started writing when I came out of graduate school. Like I said, I do a lot of theater. And so I was working on a play. I was working on Richard III by William Shakespeare. And I love Shakespeare. And I was working at a play at the Public Theater. And so basically, you know, I was fresh out of graduate school. I was just so prepared. You know, I would come to rehearsal off book, ready to go. So as I mentioned before, you know, I just need things to do. I'm one of those individuals that, like, I don't just watch TV. I'm watching TV and I'm on the treadmill and I'm writing bars and I'm listening to music. Like, you know. But you
have to be like that, especially in 2020. You gotta be multitasking.
You do, you know, and just this whole thing of being a hyphenated artist, like you have to do multiple things. It's just what it is.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, so basically, in my like during my downtime when I wasn't like needed, I would just start playing with just kind of like rhyme schemes, and like I said, I was doing Shakespeare, so. Shakespeare is written in an iambic pentameter, and so it's written in prose and in verse. And in the verse, a lot of times, you know, like it rhymes. And so that was like an inspiration, you know, inspirational tool, because he's not just rhyming, you know, he's actually rhyming with like a purpose, you know, which I think hip hop is really what that's about, you know. So it's like lyricism. It's like, what are the lyrics though? The beat, we want the beat to be dope. Yes, we want to be able to rock to it, but what are we getting from it mentally too? You know, like how is it fueling us?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I started listening to just instrumental beats. I start writing what I wasn't hearing on the radio. I'm from Philly, so you know, it's a lot of greats that come from Philly. Your Beanie Siegels, your Eves, you know. Yeah, Will Smith, you know, and then we have the singers. We got the Boys to Men, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a lot of them, you know. We got Music Soul Child. We got Jilly from Philly, you know what I mean? Jasmine, like, we just had mad people. So anyway, music has just been a part of me. Phyllis Hyman, who is no longer with us, she was like, you know, one of my older cousins, but she passed away, but... anyway, the music, you know, I think has just been in me. And so when I just was working on this show, it started to come out, you know, and I don't really have like writing sessions. Like, I don't say like, oh, I'm going to go sit down and write, you know. I wake up and the bars are just coming, or I'll hear a beat. And then it's like my track, Brother George, I literally, like my guy Easto, who produced my whole EP, Alter Ego, I was just listening to my Rolodex, like a beat, and I heard it and I was like, oh, the bars just started flowing. It just started coming, you know? So I was like, wow, you know, I feel like I gotta be, you know, there's a bigger power that is over me and in me. Cause I'm like, I'm not that creative. You know what I mean? Something gotta be flowing up in me, kid. Like, you know, but yeah, that's really how it started. And then like, you know, one line went to two lines that went to, you know, a verse that went to my first mixtape, Journey of an MC. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a hip hop, you know, nod from Philly Hip Hop Awards, a nomination. And then, I just kept working and working and working and working. And then, you know, now we have Alter Ego.
Now we got Alter Ego. But before Ego, talk to me about just dedication, right? Before, just how you even got to Alter Ego. Right, just the dedication. You say you dropped the mixtape and you started getting them awards, but you said, "Yo, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going." A lot of people are always asking, "How do I tap in to start getting blessings?" Tell the people out here and tell them your experience of what you did to tap in to not be able to strike gold with acting, but you be able to strike gold again with music.
Ooh, I love it. I'm striking gold out here. well, you know. It's kind of like, if you want to be successful at something, you have to just keep pushing. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to hear no's, you know, you're going to have people turn you away, but you really have to use that as fuel and motivation. You know, I always say, I try to just remain optimistic. Like if something negative is happening, I have to turn it into positive energy, because, you know, like depression is real, you know, and stress is real. And myself, like I'm sure a lot of people who are on this call just in life, you know, have suffered from that, have suffered from stress, suffered from depression, feeling like, you know, woe is me, or I'm not going to be able to prevail. And I mean, you know, it gets hard, you know what I mean? It gets hard out here. And when you come from a situation where not a whole lot is handed to you, it gets even more challenging, because it's like, damn, you know, was I just brought in this world to fail? Like, what's good, you know? But you weren't, and you can prevail and you can excel. And so it's a matter, I think, of just being focused on like what is it that you want, and now how do we work towards getting that? So with the music, I wrote my first mixtape, you know, came out 2014. That's when I was like, okay, I'm officially a lyricist. You know, that was when I got my nomination from the Philadelphia Hip Hop Awards. Next thing you know, I put out another single. you know, then I'm putting out, you know, another mixtape on top of that, and then just single, and then another EP, and, you know, so my next EP came out, well, my first EP came out in actually 2016, and so it's called For Hire, and then I dropped another EP this past February called Truth Teller, and then in June, I dropped another EP, you know, so I used to look at, like,
consistency, is that super important? Just finding that.
Of course. And I always like to say, make sense of your situation. So it makes sense that with consistency, you're going to reach a certain, like, level. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at the athletes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym. Like, it, you know, and speaking from that place, because I played basketball, softball, you know, badminton, volleyball, like, I've done karate, Shotokan specifically. Like, I've had to be in those shoes as an athlete and as a competitor. So you start to realize, like, listen, if I want to get the ball into the basket and it's just not dropping, I need to work on my shot. Absolutely. It's common sense. You know, so it's with anything. It's like, okay, you're writing bars, or you know, you're trying to go in the booth and spit bar, you got to get your booth swag. It's like, you have to just work at it. Fashion, if you're in the fashion, you can't just wake up and say, oh, I'm in the fashion. It's like, well, let me see that you're fashionable. Like, you know, be working towards that, honing that skill, whatever it is. But yes, consistency is key. Dedication is key. You say you want it, well, come on and go get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So going into Alter Ego, right? The perfect mm-hmm. pick is now you here. You just talked about your buildup, and that was a beautiful transition, actually, Robin. So thank you for that. Because there's a lot of people, and I see a few artists definitely in the building that I know for a fact that
I'm like this. I'm just dropping them. Like, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Now, I opened up, I'm not, you probably didn't, but when you see the replay, you'll see I opened up to your song, God's Grace.
Yeah.
And, you know, that song.
Shout out to Grace Porter, you know, we featured her on the track, dope singer, yeah.
Dope, definitely a dope singer. And just the lyrics of it, right? And just down what's kind of going on right now, and I was so... Yeah. Right.
That was my first attempt at writing a gospel song. So I was really pleased with that. Yeah.
Well, we pleased with it too. You know, that's why I picked it for the line, because I just felt like it's just relative to everything that we really going through right now. You said people dying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really, people really are dying out here. Talk to us about how your music is going to heal people through what's going on right now. And what was your thought process behind?
You know, my thought process behind the whole EP was really, I wanted to motivate artists so that they understand that you don't have to be in a box. Mm-hmm. You can decide how you want your future to a certain extent to kind of pan out. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can still plan like we do, you know? And so, like, within this situation, I come up against a record label, you know, executive who's constantly just throwing all of these different balls at me. And so I'm dealing with all these obstacles, and it's just like, okay, how can I still accomplish what I would like to accomplish as a lyricist in terms of my message, but then still get it to the masses without having to be too gimmicky, and doing these things that these producers are saying I have to do in order, you know, to get my point across and to be successful. So really it was to motivate artists to say, hey, listen, you know, you can be in control of your project. You know, not only did I write all of the lyrics, you know, for my EP, but also, you know, I'm of course performing all of them. And then I wrote all of the skits, you know, that I'm doing in between the songs. And then I played the voices for all of the skits, you know. Yo,
talk to us about your...
Yeah.
You put a skit, literally, it's a song skit, or a skit.
Actually, the other way, exactly. It's so each song is, you know, is preceded by a skit. And so the skit motivates the lyrics that are in that particular song. And so with the help of my homeboy, Isto, who, like I said, produced the EP, I go to him, you know, and I'm like, okay, I need something for this, you know, this record label exec, you know, called Mr. I Don't Care of Screw You Records is telling me, you know, it has to be more this, it has to be more that. We start off meeting by him saying, I really like that Truth Teller EP, you know, but it was a little too conscious. What we need to do is, you know, don't be so focused about uplifting your community and all that stuff. Let's just get down and dirty and gritty. And, you know, you're from the hood, so give us hood, you know. And all of just the judgments, you know, that they kind of make and the stereotypes that they have in their mind and what they think, you know, Black talent, how we should be producing, you know, our material. So, yeah, it was just really about, listen, you know, take the reins, be in control, you know, of your product, because at the end of the day, that's how people are going to identify with who you are by what you produced.
So talk to me now. Talk to me about now. You said, because I heard you mention earlier that you want to do something that's authentic to you, but you don't want to be so far off. Now, let me ask you this. How important is it to stay true to you and your music? But then how important is it for you to be able to reach masses? Because I think some artists find that disconnect, right? Because they want to, I just want to be myself. I don't care.
Right.
Certain formula that reaches the masses, and you have to follow that formula to be playing on mainstream radio, to be, you know, to get all these, you know, movie placements, all of this stuff. What is it that you need to do to kind of achieve both?
I mean, I think it's always about who you know and what you know. You know, who you know is going to get you in the room, and then you have to show what you know. I think it's the same for music. I think it's the same for acting. You know, I have, my network is large, you know, and it has to be, I think, in this business in order to really get things accomplished at the level where you would like to, you know. you know, you're going to different auditions, you know, you're meeting casting directors so that even if they don't cast you for this project, they're thinking about you for the next project. You know, every time you work with a music producer, or let's say you're doing a feature, you know, on somebody's album, like I was doing that as much as possible, because it was like, you know what, I'm gonna make your fans are gonna become my fans, you know. So you have to, again, it's making sense of your situation. That's mental sense, spiritual sense.
How much of it is business then, and how much is artistry?
It's all business, baby. It's all business. Listen, it's always business. I think that there's a way to strategize without coming off, you know, too strategic, without coming off too much like, oh, I'm being super like methodical. Like, I think there's a way to do it where you're putting yourself out there as somebody who you know wants to achieve, but not, you're not trying to be an overachiever and step on people's toes in order to get what it is that you want. You know, like, you don't have to be a shark, you know, barracuda out this thing. But yeah. I always tell people, you know, listen, you can be hungry, but don't be thirsty. And I had somebody on my page, they were like, well, what do you mean by that? Isn't it be good to be thirsty? And I said, well, listen, you never want to appear desperate. Absolutely. You know? And that's like with relationships and everything. It's like, damn, she's so thirsty. Like, just, whoa, you know?
Listen, people don't want to associate themselves with anything that's too common. You know, so with desperation takes away your mystery. You understand? Yeah. You know exactly what you want, and you just want this opportunity. And I definitely think that you cannot be thirsty, and you always got to remain hungry, because hungry, you're going to keep working. Thirsty.
Yeah, hungry and humble.
That's it.
Yeah.
So let's talk. Let's kind of jump it into. We have Maisha on the show, aka Genesis Denise.
Let's hit it. Let's get into it.
I want to talk to you about what Dre has taken away from Maisha.
Oh, right? Man. Yeah.
What now?
You know. Wow. From when I first saw her character in season one. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was on a live with her last night, and we were just talking about like her journey as a character. First of all, she is an amazing individual. You know, this young lady is just, oh my gosh, so inspirational. She started the show at 12. You know, like I was telling you earlier, that's when I was starting and I was doing theater. Like it just wasn't on the same scale. And she's a beast. She just comes in and she's like, you know, just slaughtering, you know, left and right. But it's been lovely to see her trajectory, you know, on the show. And I love her character. I love to see she's super smart. You know, I love that she is about family. That her family is in an unfortunate circumstance, you know, by the mother becoming unemployed, you know, time and time, you know, again. But she's right there, you know, she's helping to babysit her siblings. You know, I know what that's like growing up in a big family, and you're either taking care of someone or someone's taking care of you. You know, it just, so that was just seeing her character, it has been really inspiring. I mean, I hope that I get something with her season 4. You know, it'd be nice to have a little scene, you know, with Dre and Maisha. You know, we got to run into each other on the block or something.
It's nice when they cross the characters, you understand?
It's dope. And I was able, I had that a lot, you know, with my character. Like, I had scenes with Ronnie, you know, I had scenes with Jacob, I had scenes with Ronnie as, you know, and Tare. You know, I had scenes with Papa, you know, it was just great, you know, of course, and then Yolanda, and, you know, so I was just kind of all over the place, which was lovely, because I thought that was a really smart way to show community. Yeah. And that even though this household is going through what it's going through, and this household is dealing with what they're going through, the community as a whole is dealing with challenging, you know, obstacles. And so some of us, we help each other through that. You know, and then some of us have to find our way through individually, but just a real sense of community. So it was beautiful. And myself and Maisha were a part of that. So, you know, like I said, just really down to earth, really talented individual. And I think that Dre from Maisha, I think that I've learned how to be even more bold and unapologetic.
Because it's definitely bold and unapologetic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What time is it where you at? It's getting late over there, huh?
But this is Black Culture, the Breakdown. We do this every Sunday, so they
okay here
to talk about.
And are you in Jersey?
No, I'm actually in Brooklyn. I'm in New York.
Oh, okay, dope. I used to live in Harlem, so when I'm back and forth, yeah, I'm bi-coastal, so.
You're in New York. We definitely got to connect. I have a school out here. We teach, educate the youth.
I might have to slide through.
Definitely. Last week we had Tobias on here, Trevilian.
And I know Tobias.
Robin, he knew you was coming on this because that's my girl. Yo, I see her.
Oh, yes, yes.
Definitely a small world. And I saw on your project, you had Big Mouth Bo on the project.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We had Big Mouth Bo on the show as well. So it's
funny thing, I tell you, I was actually kicking it with Bo. Was it last night or like the night before? But she had to pop into LA on some business. And yeah, she's actually on my EP. She's on a track called RIP, and I feature Bo. We met while I was working on The Shy. She was my stand-in.
Yes.
For those who don't know what a stand-in is, basically there's like two teams, you know, of actors. It's the actors who, you know, like have all the lines and, you know, and then you have those individuals that stand in, you know, to get the lighting and the, you know, she does all the heavy lifting for real, for real. But yeah, so Bo is my stand-in. You usually, with your stand-in, you have somebody who's like about your height, maybe close to your complexion, to help, you know, like with the lighting and everything. So I walked on set. This was, she had already shot Rhythm and Flow, but it wasn't out. So I didn't know, you know, who she was, but we vibed out. She was hella cool. I said, yo, you know, while I'm here, I got to get you in the booth. Cause I started writing the EP while I was shooting The Shy. So we shot for 5 months. I was working on my EP, recording in Chicago, fly out to LA, record in LA, like during the whole time.
Working.
Yes, sir.
I love
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Out yeah here.
So you know, we're going to actually want you to introduce your track. I want to play a track.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So talk to us about this track that we're going to actually play right now and what it's about so the people can kind of tune into Alter Ego if they never heard this.
So I believe this is Kamikaze. Okay, dope. So Kamikaze, you know, I'll just say Kamikaze is a 2-for-1, you know. It's one of those tracks where the story shifts and the musicality goes right along with that. It's, to me, I think it's a really beautiful song. Again, props to my homeboy Isto, who produced the track. When I heard it, I heard the beat, I immediately wrote to it. I was like, ooh, this is, ooh. Had to give them what they've been missing. So yeah, I was just like, wow, this is funky, yo. Like, this is fly. So anyway, Kamikaze, tune in. Alter Ego, that EP link is in my bio. Get with it.
All right, we're gonna get into that. Make sure y'all drop some fire emojis for Robin Hood. Let's get into this.
boy, I'm coming through when I'm getting shoes. I should do some cat black balling like I'm playing pool. Woo!
Okay.
Coin. Yeah.
So listen, the beat on this is crazy.
And you didn't even hear the switch up yet. Wait till you hear the switch up. Okay. That's all I'ma say.
All right, so wait, let's bring it back in. Let's bring it back in. We ain't done with the switch up yet. Oh, it's starting over. We bringing it back. Back.
I'm gonna respond to some of these folk in the meantime. I appreciate that. Oh,
no worries. So I'll play the whole track.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I got that. Let's go. Wait for it. Let's go. DC in the building. Detroit in the building. What's good?
I lost you, truth. I'm sorry, I lost you, truth. You was never my goal to control. I let you first on two, but I got so lost I think I'm cool.
Yeah.
I just wanna be kids. Come on, you don't wanna let me down. I'm suicidal, crashing like a dog got me. Exploding on the track, doing deliberately.
You can give it all to him or a little snippet. I just wanted you to hear a little song.
Robin, come on. Kamikaze,
alter ego. I'm trying to tell you, alter ego is a vibe, yo. It's a whole vibe. I love the shit, yo. I'm people are like, who you listening to right now? I'm like, Robin Hood.
As you should. Listen, you listening, yo. We came out here to God's grace, and that was just Kamikaze. Yo. Yeah. Let's rock out for 45 seconds of your next favorite track on here. Come on, let's give them one more.
Let's do it. Throw on Duffel's Drip Flow, Chopper, whatever you need. Matter of fact, let's give them Monk Flow.
Let's give them Monk Flow. All right, let's give them
Monk Flow. Yeah. Woo, Easto with them tracks. God damn.
Monk Flow, here we go. D Flow, right?
Take that from the top, yeah.
Got
telling you, yo.
That's dope. Yo, Robin, dropping nothing but straight hits out here. And the comments are going crazy.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the love. Fireballs all day.
all day. It's all about that. So now, what it is that you can tell young black queens out here, if you leave us with anything today, you talk to us about your super dope acting career.
Thank you.
And all the training that you've got, because that's why your blessings is manifesting right now.
Thank you, yo. I think young, old, black, white, you know, Jewish, Korean, you know, Muslim, anybody, you know, you could take a little bit from this. But basically, I just always try to tell people, you know, breathe and believe. It's that simple. Breathe and believe. You know, if it's something out there that you say you really want, then you have to speak it into existence. You have to work towards that. Don't expect anything to just come to you. You got to go get it, you know, and you got to breathe within that, because that helps you keep grounded. You know, it's like if you're holding your breath, you know, you're tense. You got to let that go.
Absolutely.
Settle, breathe, and believe. That's what I got for you.
Ah, we love Bush Robin for coming in and just blessing us with your aura, your words, and your gift. Yo, one more thing. Maisha was dropping some bars in the track. Dropping bars on the show.
Okay.
But she actually gave us a dope freestyle. I'm not sure if it was a freestyle or not, but she spit something fire for us.
You just wanted the delivery. I feel you. I got you. Listen, my life, Philly chick, I'm repping East Coast. East put me on the beat, man, them rappers toast. Yeah, won't say I never came from nothing, even though my cousin the dirt and I know busting. Baby girl of 7, trust I know about that hustle. I've been working since 7. Baby girl got that muscle. Woo! Been bullied, now I do the pushing. Call my paper chase sofa, I need that cushion. Yeah, and you'll never catch me slipping. Eat these candy wrappers like chocolate, then I dip them. Bars on deck, acrobatic, hear me flip them. Electric flow, I bring the brakes and then I trip them. Up, bottom line, mama raised me well. My life was never Disney. I'm the beast to your bell. I know about that hunger, stomach leaning on my back. Now I'll never go hungry because I'm eating every track. My life. Yeah, that's all I'm getting right now.
Listen, you dropped the mic and you just killed it, yo. Straight
fire. Thank you, homie. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Give us straight positive vibes. You give us talent and we appreciate you for that. Again, y'all, we got Robin.
Thank you.
Ariam, a.k.a. Dre from the Shah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you much for coming on and blessing us with your aura. Tell us where we could find you and what we should look out for you next.
First off, brother, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been dope chopping it up with you. But yeah, you know, you can check me out on the gram, you know, Twitter at Robin Hood Music. Also on Twitter, Miriam A. Hyman. And the EP, Alter Ego, is available on all platforms. So go get that. Whether you listen to Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, whatever you listen to, go get that. And you can also check out all the other music, you know, that I've been involved with, too. So, like, I did a track called Melanin, where I'm a featured writer on that. And that Sierra song, Lala Anthony, is on it. City Girls are on it. And I wrote for my good friend Lupita Nyong'o, who is on the track as well. So I wrote her verse. So it's a lot of things out there. You know, I got my hands in everything, you know. So get to know me. You know, I'm out here.
Get to know you. And listen, they ain't showing you nothing but love. Again, thank you for coming on here. We appreciate you.
Thank you, King. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
Peace.
So that was, come on, that was Robin Hood Music, a.k.a. Miriam, like, all right? So she gave us nothing but straight gems, gave us nothing but straight talent. I appreciate y'all coming on and giving me love. Again, if you haven't checked out the show, this is the show Black Culture, The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey, and I host this show every Sunday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, right here on my IG Live. If you don't follow me, click that follow button right now. Follow me and get tap in. Next week, we got a super dope show. I got a massive guest coming on. I'm actually hyped to announce that. And we're going to keep the ball rolling. But again, I am your boy, Jersey, and I'm out of here for the night. Tune in
XAB, I appreciate you. Genesis Denise Hay, I appreciate you. Tangerine, I appreciate you. Robin Hood Music, I appreciate you. To the team behind the scenes, David, Adam, everybody on the other side, appreciate y'all. I'm out of here. Later.